In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
We should be familiar by now of the role of the tax collector in first century Jewish society. The Jews were not an independent nation, but were under foreign occupation, under foreign control by the Roman Empire, by the Romans. And the way the Romans collected taxes was they didn't just send their own soldiers in, but they would draft one of the locals to do the tax collecting for them. Little Zacchaeus was one of these locals, one of these tax collectors. Now, what makes them so despised is that they were both crooks and traitors. Crooks because as long as they turned in the required totals to the Romans, these tax collectors could collect whatever they wanted from you, and with the full force of the law behind them. You have a good harvest, they're going to take some extra. You have a good week fishing, he's going to take some extra. You look at him funny or you get in a fight with him, he's going to take some extra. It was a system wide open to corruption and often used that way. Now, they were also seen as traitors because they were your own neighbor, possibly even your own relative. And they were working for the enemy. They were working against you. He's working against his own village. And they chose to help the occupying force oppress their own neighbors, oppress their own family even. So when Jesus stops at the sycamore tree and calls Zacchaeus down and selects him of all people to stay with, well, the crowd following Jesus is naturally upset. Now, so much time and so much text has, rightfully so, been dedicated to Zacchaeus himself, his sins, his encounter with Christ, his repentance, and his reconciliation. So today I'd like to consider the crowd, to consider its reaction and see if we can learn a little from that reaction and see if it might apply to us in our lives as well. To do that, let's consider two possibilities about our neighbor traitor Zacchaeus the tax collector. First possibility is that Zacchaeus really is the scoundrel we think he is, a crook who defrauds you when you're at your lowest, a traitor who'd betray his own brother or sister. And this is the interpretation of the vast majority of the Holy Fathers, that Zacchaeus is engulfed in sin until the moment he encounters Jesus while in the sycamore tree. So if we're taking a lesson today for ourselves on what the crowd does, we see Jesus choosing this guy of all people, this traitor, this crook, to have dinner with him and to go stay with him. Now, let's admit right now, if you see it as Jesus choosing your oppressor, the person who has made your life the most miserable, Jesus choosing them of all people, it would sting. It would sting. That would hurt. And if you're being honest, you can probably taste the hatred and the disdain that this crowd was feeling as they start mumbling towards Zacchaeus. And it's not too big a leap to admit we ourselves might even feel a little resentment towards Jesus himself even, for choosing our oppressor to go stay with. Why him? Why him? But I'd like to also consider a second possibility. And so here's a true story to help us illustrate a different possibility. Back in the days of American slavery, there was an almost unknown minister in one area who was permitted by slave owners to pastor slaves, to lead services, to preach and teach, you know, those kinds of things, the ordinary things. This fellow's name was Reverend Samuel Green, who himself was black. But the black slaves in that area neither trusted nor respected Reverend Green. In fact, many hated him, even though he was their pastor. And they hated him for the same reason that the slave owners approved of him. Reverend Samuel Green preached and taught repeatedly that black slaves should be submissive to their white masters, serve them without question, and accept any brutality that was inflicted on them. He preached this over and over and over. And so Reverend Greed, far from being respected, was seen as a stooge of their white masters and a traitor to his own people. But Reverend Green had a secret. Samuel Green had a secret. He was actually an integral part of the Underground Railroad, this covert network that helps slaves escape to the free states up north. Reverend Green had contacts in the north. He had hiding places built right into his church where runaway slaves could lodge on their way from further south to further north. And over the course of the years that he was there, he helped over 200 slaves escape to freedom. Reverend Samuel Green only pretended to serve the white slave owners in order to continue working to free the slaves. And he accepted and he endured the disdain and hatred of many of his peers in order to convincingly do his work. In other words, he was willing to keep a secret and accept their anger and their hatred in order to covertly continue in his good work. Now, what does this have to do with Zacchaeus? While most of the Holy Fathers interpret that Zacchaeus does not repent until he meets Jesus, there is a minority opinion among a few of them, and that opinion is that Zacchaeus had already repented at some point in the past and was willing to continue receiving the hatred and disdain of his neighbors in order to protect them. Now, according to this outlier opinion, Zacchaeus too had a secret. And they come to this opinion by what Zacchaeus says when he comes down from the sycamore tree. He says, "Look, Lord, I give half my wealth to the poor, and if I have ever taken anything falsely, I restore it fourfold." Notice the use of the present tense. "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have ever taken anything falsely, I restore it fourfold." Zacchaeus, in this interpretation, is saying that this is already happening. In other words, this is what he's been doing for some time, that he's been secretly giving half of his goods to the poor and secretly helping his neighbors by restoring anything that was taken falsely. If this is true, someone might ask, well, why doesn't he just quit? Why doesn't he quit this altogether? Well, the Romans are going to put someone in that position, and Zacchaeus saw the possibility of being a buffer against a much worse situation, someone who was going to be far worse, and he could secretly do good to the poor in spite of being hated all those years. Now, I admit I am much more attracted to this interpretation because it's nicer. It's nicer to think of him that way, to be sure. But in the end, we don't know. We don't know which interpretation is true. We don't know. And that, brothers and sisters, is the lesson. We don't know which Zacchaeus is the right, or which interpretation of Zacchaeus is the right one. Was Zacchaeus a scoundrel all along, or was he secretly trying to do good, knowing that he'd have to endure hatred all the while? And the reason us not knowing is kind of the point, is since we're taking a lesson from the crowd today, we can be warned of something from either interpretation. Now, the first is, don't judge someone, because we cannot possibly know the whole story. We can't possibly know the whole story. We don't know all of what's going on. We can never know someone's story, their motives, what's behind it all. So how could we possibly judge? And in fact, the person that you consider a scoundrel might even be working for your benefit, and you're just not aware of it. The flip side is, even if the scoundrel in your life really is just a scoundrel, Christ has a plan for them. Christ has a plan for them. God is invested in them with his whole being. Jesus has a calling and a path for their redemption. And that path might just intersect and rely on your kindness, your goodness, and your patience to be a light and to be their lifeline. Amen.